Blog Talk Radio.
Will you put that in this atmosphere? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? Real simple song. I want to teach it to you tonight. The Lord is my light, salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my life, salvation. Whom shall I fear? Yeah. Whom shall I be afraid? I will wait on you. I will wait on you. You, yeah. I will trust in you. Yes, Lord. I will trust in you. Y'all help me. The Lord is my light. Everybody sing. The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? You say it. Whom shall I be afraid? No, no. The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? No, no. Whom shall I fear? I will wait. I will wait on you. Yes, say it again. Say, I will trust in you. Yes, sing. I will trust in you. The next part goes like this. Listen, I want you to go home singing this. I will remain confident in this. I will see the goodness of the Lord. Come on, you say it.
I will remain confident in this. I will see the goodness of the Lord. The Lord is my life and salvation. Who shall I be?
What
I? Who shall I be afraid?
What I?
The Lord is my life
always the easiest thing to do, but I will wait on you. Oh, yeah. I will trust in you. Will you raise up your hands and receive Bishop James Morton?
I will trust in the Lord. In the Lord till I die, I will trust in the Lord. Hey, I'm gonna try, keep on trusting in the Lord.
Hallelujah. Good evening. Welcome to Eloquently Speaking Open Mic. And my name is Stacey Lunsford, and my co-host tonight is Taisha Thompson. Tonight's topic is, do you have a sick heart? If so, what caused the sickness? What have you internalized? Could it be hurt, pain, unforgiveness, bitterness, or resentment? What have you nurtured or held on to that has affected your body, your heart, your blood pressure, your diet, your thought process? What is a sick heart? Well, Psalms 34, verse 18 and 19 is our foundational scripture tonight. And the word says, the Lord is close to all whose hearts are crushed by pain. And he is always ready to restore the repentant one. Even when bad things happen to the good and godly ones, the Lord will save them and not let them be defeated by what they face. So when we think about a sick heart, sometimes you may say, well, what is a sick heart? Well, we have a healthy heart and we have an unhealthy heart. And we all experience different kinds of hurts and pains. And when we're hurt, it affects our heart. And tonight, I want to do a little recap on what is the condition of your heart. And I'm just going to ask a couple of questions because this is how we open up this series. So some of the questions that we ask so far is, do you have a black heart? If so, what turns your heart black? And during that series, we dealt with the root issues of blackness. And that blackness was the different areas of our hearts, of our mind, our emotions, where we have been wounded. And just as a refresher, the discussion tonight and until we finish this series is dealing with overcoming traumatic, Taisha, help me out, please. Overcoming traumatic experiences in relationships. So we're dealing with different topics where people have been wounded and they have been hurt so that we can bring, real issues to the table. So the next question is, do you have a sick heart? If so, sickness, which I read that already. So do you have a heart that is stitched up, covered up with Band-Aids, patches, and cracks? If so, what caused the cracks? And why does your heart need stitches and a Band-Aid? What happened to you? And then one of the topics that we're going to eventually move into is, do you have a weak heart? W-E-A-K. Is your heart overburdened? Is your heart heavy? Is your heart working too hard? Is your heart carrying heavy objects that are slowing you down and affecting your breathing? Or maybe your arteries are clogged spiritually and you need a spiritual enema to remove the spiritual cholesterol that is preventing the flow of spiritual oxygen that is needed to help you breathe. And with all of these questions, maybe you're curious and wondering, wow, do I really have a sick heart? Do I have a black heart? Do I have a wounded heart? Well, if you want to learn more, then please stay tuned to our discussion tonight. And if you want to listen to the other messages that we have shared, please feel free to go to our on-demand section at the website, and the whole catalog is right there. So at this time, I'm going to say good evening to Taisha. How are you? Thank you for joining me again. And
hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for asking.
Oh, that's good.
You know, I'm excited. This is a wonderful topic that we have been covering. And for those of you that are listening tonight, if you have any questions or comments, please press 1 pound and we'll be more than happy to get you on the mic. And I am hearing some background noise in the background. If you could cut your TV down. Thank you so much. And before we get started tonight, this is Eloquently Speaking Open Mic. And sometimes we share poetry and sometimes people call in and they share poetry. But I have a very special message tonight, and I did not write this. But Taisha, I'm going to share this because it's directly related to our topic, and I believe that the message is very strong and that it will help a lot of people. So I'm just going to read this. It's called Splinters from the Cross. And the author of this piece is Michelle Shelby. So after I read it, then we're going to go straight into our discussion. And it goes like this. And this is a really, really, I'm going to really be dramatic while I read this because I really want everyone to feel the passion, but to really get the message in this. So what do you do when there's intense, persistent emotional pain in your life, but you don't know who or what has caused it? In my case, I had many of the symptoms of child abuse, but no memories to support them. I didn't know what happened to me as a child to bring about the recurrent fears, anxiety, and relentless emotional distress. All I knew was that whatever it wasn't going away. Searching through my past, I prayed that God would reveal all to me who, what, when, where, and why, as he saw fit. You see, I believe my part toward that end was to remain open to receive whatever he might tell me. And what happened was I opened the door to more emotional pain. but without any answers, only more questions. So the following is an allegory describing what finally brought me to the point of healing and a place in my life after years of searching for the answers. This is what I found. There I sat once again trying to sort out the truth. That nagging feeling had been chewing away at me, little by little, piece by piece, until nothing was left but raw, irritated nerves. As always, I cried out to my Savior, my Lord, my God, tired with desperation in my voice. Jesus, I can't take this lonely road again. I've walked it so many times before, yet it leads me nowhere. I swallowed the words, but the thoughts numbed my brain as they drudged on unharnessed. Nowhere but to the end of my emotions, to the void, the immersed gulf of painfully cold blackness. My child, he called softly. Yes, Lord. And Jesus said, how is it that you still don't trust me? His voice was warm and deep. Lift your eyes to mine. And with that, he gently placed his hand beneath my chin and brought my face opposite his. And looking into his eyes, I saw something I'd never seen before. There, a single tear swelled and spilled over his dark lashes and down his smooth, olive skin. First one, then another. His heart was breaking for me. I lifted up my hand to wipe the tears from his cheek, pausing to caress the precious face of my Jesus. Then he took my hand gently into his own. I winced as my fingers touched the scar. He cupped his other hand over mine, and with a pat of reassurance and that same soothing voice that said, follow me, there is nothing to fear. And with that, he let go of my hand and turned and walked away. There before him, I saw that road, just as I always seen it before. But this time, Jesus walked ahead of me, and I knew I had to follow. The road was long and winding. It was narrow and it was rocky. The incline sharp and steady. My feet were heavy and each step became harder to take. I slowed to a crawl. But Jesus kept his pace and soon was far ahead of me, out of sight. It seemed as though hours had passed as I neared the end of the road. But my heart was full of anticipation. You see, I knew my Lord would be waiting for me, arms open wide, just around the next corner, and I wouldn't have to face the void alone this time. Filthy, exhausted, and out of breath, I finally reached the end. As I rounded the last corner, I couldn't believe my eyes. Shocked and horrified, a cry of agony filled my lungs as I fell to my knees. No, no! There before me hung my precious Jesus. Once again, nailed upon the tree, his skin hung in ribbons. Blood flowed freely down that smooth olive face as the thorns dug deep into his skull. There at the foot of the cross, I wept, and once again, I looked into his face. Why, I asked him pleadingly, why did you do this for me? He pushed himself up on the nail in his feet and gasped a reply I didn't expect. The question my child is not why, but what now? What will you do with me now? I don't know what you mean, I sobbed. What choices do I have? Then there appeared next to me a large bucket filled with a lifetime of atrocities. The stench was sickening, more hideous than anything I'd ever experienced before. It was all I could do not to retch at the sight of it. I looked again at the mutilated figure on the cross. Shaking my head, I pleaded, "I just don't understand." Again, he put all his weight on his feet and spoke in painful gasp. Throw it on me. No, I screamed. I can't. I don't understand, my Lord. Please help me understand. I continued frantically. You've already taken my sins. Why must you do it again? And he's gasping because the pain. These aren't your sins, my child, but the sins of the ones you seek. You mean the ones who hurt me, Jesus? I said quietly. It was more of a statement than a question. But you've already taken their sins too. Why must you do this again, Jesus? And gasping, he said, my precious child. He spoke lovingly. And he said, each time you seek them out, you drive the nails into me all over again. Until you let go of the past, and he's gasping, until you forgive them, I will hang here, suspended in agony. And with that, I grabbed the bucket and flung it as hard as I could away from my Savior into the void beyond the cross. Then I threw myself at the foot of that tree. There I clung with all my might, sobbing uncontrollably. I forgive them, I cried. I forgive them. And an angel came at that very moment and released my sweet Jesus. And the two of them soon disappeared from view. I released my painful grip of the cross. Excuse me, and pulled myself to my feet. I looked at my own hands and forearms, and again I gazed in astonishment. You see, there, deeply embedded in my hands and arms, were splinters from the cross. As I pulled each of the shards from my own soft white flesh, the wounds immediately began to heal. Then, in a moment, the blackness of the void was overtaken by the glorious light of the Son of God, and I was free. Our God is an awesome God. There once was this girl, lost and abused, broken till there was nothing left. Then she met her best friend, Jesus. He is slowly putting her back together, piece by piece. One thing she is noticing, though, as he is putting her back together, he is replacing some of the pieces that were corrupt with better ones. And the terrific thing about Jesus is, even though those new pieces seem like they don't fit, he makes no mistakes in what he does. All the girl knew was that those new pieces didn't feel right at first. But in the end, all things will be terrific. You see, God has a plan for everyone, and she knew that it would be a great one. So, my friend, for those of you that are listening tonight, if you are broken, if you have been abused, if you have a broke heart, if you have a sick heart, come and meet our friend Jesus. and be made into perfection. He has a greater plan for you, and it isn't for you to be broken and alone. And again, the name of this piece is called Splinters in the Cross. I am not the author. I added a little bit at the end. But the author of this piece is Michelle Shelby. And Michelle Shelby, God bless you. Thank you so much for such an awesome, awesome piece. And I'm going to open up the mic, Taisha. How do you feel about that piece? And I chose to share it because it's so connected to what we're talking about and what we're doing here tonight.
Well, when you really look at the piece, it describes where we get our help from. It describes who can medicate our sick heart. Because any sick heart, what it needs is medication to get better. When you think of the body, and when a body gets sick, it's sick because it allows something to get in that is toxic to the body. And because it's toxic to the body, it brings illness. And when it brings illness, it really can disrupt and do harm to our body. And it makes me think of how when that happens, we need medication in order to allow the body to function properly, because sickness normally tends to come when the immune system is low, right? When the immune system in the body is low, it causes your body to become sick. Well, think about the heart. The heart is how we transmit and how we really is the being of a person. So when you allow things in your heart that should not be there, and you can go on a day-to-day basis, you could just be minding your business. You're very sincere in what you do. You're not trying to bring any conflict, confusion, or disruption or anything. And you're like, you just taking life daily as it goes. And in the midst of your daily routine, something tries to attack your heart. And it attacks your heart to cause the immunity of your heart. Well, let me backtrack, because what it does is it seeks to attack your heart when your heart is weak. And when your heart is weak, it attaches itself to you, and it can be a lot of things that can make your heart sick. And I like how you brought out and was really talking about unforgiveness. I believe that's what one of the things you were saying in your piece, unforgiveness. Well, unforgiveness, yeah, when you allow it to linger, it attacks the heart. And when it attacks the heart, it makes it sick. And the reason why your heart is sick is because it doesn't have the nutrition that it needs to function healthy, to be healthy. It doesn't have that nutrition that it needs to become healthy, which causes your heart to be sick. And I'm saying all of this because, like in the text, and with the poetry you were reading, she realized how to get her sick heart cured. And the cure is Jesus. Because when we understand what Jesus done on the cross, when we understand what Jesus done for us, and his death, when we understand that he took on our sicknesses so that we can be healed. And I don't know who's going through right now and feel as though you allow so many toxic things in your heart. That's why the Bible tells us to guard your heart. Why do we guard our heart? What exactly is that saying? It says protect your heart, because out of it flows the issues of life. No matter how much you seek to isolate yourself or to keep yourself away from things that are toxic, it always seems as though it finds where you located, where you live, how to come in. It always finds some type of crack to get in. And that's why we guard our hearts, because if our heart is sick, think about your body. When I had pneumonia, when I was, I think 16 years old, when I had pneumonia, what exactly did that do to my body? I could not even function properly. Like, I was in a bed. I was bedridden. Well, think about your heart when your heart is sick, when your heart catches pneumonia, because it was, help me, Lord. Your heart catches pneumonia because it was put in places, exposed. Thank you, Lord. That's what I was trying to say. Because your heart can catch pneumonia when it's exposed to things that it should not be exposed to. And parasites can be so small, just like sin. Sin can be like a parasite that really nags and makes our heart sick. And it exposes our heart to things that really does more damage and causes our immune system to break. But we know that with Jesus, he is the answer to the thing that causes our hearts to get sick. He is the cure to a sick heart. So I like that poem because it just made me think of like how Jesus in the cross, he is the solution. He is the cure for our sick heart.
Yes. And we can go to him. And we could cry out to him. You know, when we started out this series, our foundational scripture was Psalms 51 and 10 that says, creating me a clean heart, O God, and renewing me a right spirit. Well, if David was asking God to renew in him a right spirit, that means he was aware that he was operating with a wrong spirit, which is a spirit of error. So whatever the error was, like whatever he did, caused his heart to be contaminated. So he didn't have a clean heart. He had a dirty heart. And so that's why he cried out to God and said, creating me a clean heart and renewing me a right spirit. And I love what you said, Taisha, about the pneumonia. The pneumonia, before pneumonia turns to pneumonia, you know, and when you were trying to figure out what to say, and then you said expose, and I was like, yes. Because right away, when you are exposed to very, very cold temperatures, and, you know, it may start out you have a cold or a flu, but you're consistently in cold air and your lungs, your respiratory system starts to get infected. And then, you know, I don't know all of it, but that was a very good analogy because you've been exposed to some elements that has affected your immune system. And if pneumonia is not properly treated, it can kill you. And a lot of times people can die a spiritual death, meaning that they're no longer connected to the source, which is Jesus is the source, God is the source. But sometimes when we get wounded, our hearts get broken. You know, I was talking about... earlier, I was talking about our hearts being
spiritually blocked in the spiritual cholesterol. And I mentioned sometimes we may need a spiritual enema to remove the spiritual cholesterol. So what are the different ways that our hearts can get sick? And as we've been talking through this whole series, it's a lot of different ways. And then what are we exposing ourselves to? When you said that about the pneumonia, that was really, really standing out to me because, excuse me, one of the things Jesus was saying to her in that piece was every time she searched them out, that he's going to suspend there in agony on that cross. So let's break that down. What is Jesus really saying? Jesus is saying, and as long as you continue to look for those that have hurt you, as long as you continue to rehearse what they did to you over and over and over. And Taisha, the other day we were talking about victims. Like you said, you are not a victim. You are victorious in Christ. Well, we can't have that victim mentality. And she was rehearsing that thing over and over again. So until she stopped doing that, Jesus was going to be right up there hanging on that cross. And I'm saying that because a lot of times we, and I don't understand why, but Taisha, sometimes we will expose ourselves to more hurt and pain by rehearsing our hurt and pain. You know what I mean? It's like that thing is so toxic, and now it's infiltrated our mind, our thought process, and we just stuck there. And we're thinking about it all of the time. We're rehearsing it all of the time. We're fueling it and giving it too much energy. And when the answer is right in the Word of God, the answer lies with Jesus. The answer lies with God and the Holy Spirit. So why don't we expose ourselves to the answer? Because the biblical prescriptions in the Word of God is just like taking the needle sometimes at the doctor's office. Now, if you got pneumonia, if it's at the early stages, and keep in mind, all of our listeners, we're talking about a heart, the conditions of a heart. So when you think about pneumonia, yes, it's dealing with your lungs and your respiratory system and everything, but just think about it. The early stages of pneumonia, the doctor catch it in time, they could get antibiotics and they send you home. And you get well at home while you're still taking your medicine for the 7, 12, 7, 14, 21, however long the doctor prescribed the medication. But if that pneumonia is at the second or third stage where it's critical, you can be hospitalized, hooked up to the IV, and get medicine around the clock while you still, you know, you're getting your antibiotics intravenously. And they have to monitor you. And sometimes you have to get on a respirator because you can't breathe on your own, or you need that oxygen mask. And symbolically speaking, a lot of times spiritually, we can have pneumonia because we are not receiving medication. And whatever that hurt, whatever that pain, whatever it is that we're dealing with, we're not going to the doctor to get help. We not turning to God to get help. And we just stay there, stuck. Like, I just want to rehearse this over and over. And it's a mental thing. It's an emotional thing. And it's also a spiritual thing because we place ourselves in bondage and don't even realize that we're doing it. So I'm turning the mic over to you.
Yeah, and I like how you were talking about how we rehearse things. So often we rehearse our pain. We rehearse the past that we experienced that just did not make us feel so good. We rehearse at times all the wrong things. The Bible tells us to meditate on the Word day and night. But how often do we do that? And it says, when you meditate on the Word day and night, you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. So you'll be planted, and you'll blossom, yes. and, and you'll have life flowing out of you. But how often does that, how often do we do that? We rehearse the wrong things, and rehearsing the wrong things get in our heart. And paying attention to the wrong things, it allows things to get into our heart that should not be in it. Can you think of all the times you just became so angry? What caused your anger? What caused your frustration? What caused you to be, your heart to be now in a sick condition? It's because we expose ourselves at times to things that we should not be exposing ourselves to. It reminds me of how I work with this, my coworker. I enjoyed my coworker, but one of the things that used to take place was when you work with women, you tend to work with like an environment where women gossip. They gossip. And I really wasn't a gossiper growing up because I didn't really hang with too many girls. I used to hang with guys. So I really wasn't a gossiper growing up. But being in that environment exposed me to things that my heart wasn't exposed to before. Until now, like, I have to catch myself. I'm like, Lord, forgive me, because now I'm, like, gossiping and talking about people, and that's not you. That's not what you want me to do. And I open my heart up to parasites, to ailments, to sicknesses, to bacteria, to toxic things that really made my heart sick. Because it's one thing when your heart is dirty, but it's another thing when your heart is sick. When your body's dirty, you just wash up. But when your body is sick, that means organs and body organs and blood cells and things in your body is not functioning properly. So now I need it to function right.
Yes.
That's why we have to be so careful who we entertain, who we converse with, who we get advice from, because some people will give you some bad counsel. And now what we watch, even on TV, like, you got to be careful what you watch. You watch a whole bunch of junk. Now, don't get me wrong, to each his own, whatever you feel like you need to watch, you watch. But think about all those drama shows. You watch a whole bunch of drama stuff, you know, Housewives of L.A. and Basketball Wives and all this, or what was the other one? I can't think of it, so I'll move on. Oh, Empire, all these grouchy, drama shows. And then you wonder why your life is a soap opera, because we allow things to get in our hearts. We expose our hearts to toxic things. And now because we expose our hearts to toxic things, we're filled with that versus it being filled with the word of God. And that's why it's just so... It's so important to be careful of what you entertain, what you allow in your heart. We can watch a lot of scary shows and scary movies and wonder why we're always afraid. Well, we allow our heart to be sick with fear. That this can go so many different aspects and so many different ways in which we expose our heart to things that really do more damage than it do that it benefits us in the long run. So
that's good. I like what you were saying. And I want to also take a look at, because we've been using the word toxic, and I want to look at sick for a moment, because when somebody is sick, the definition for sick, it says affected by physical or mental illness. But a lot of times, Taisha, somebody can be sick emotionally as well as spiritually. And we can have a healthy heart and we can have a sick heart, which is the topic of the day. But when we think about when somebody is sick or they're not feeling well, or they may be under the weather, or they may be feeling crappy, like I could be sick to my stomach. But when you was talking earlier, I thought about when you was talking about the things that we watch, because we must protect our eye gates, what we see, which is what you were saying. We must protect our ear gates, what we hear. So if all we're hearing is toxic things, and if all we're eating is toxic things, because what we eat can also affect our heart, where we have that cholesterol. It's no longer spiritual, but it's physical, because all of the fatty acids and all of that buildup, it begins to clog the arteries of our heart. But what are those toxic things, excuse me, that we hold on to and that we nurture, especially when they're not good for us and they make us feel bad? What are those toxic areas where we have toxic thoughts that are not positive? They don't produce positive energy. There is no light. Everything is dark. Everything we say is negative, and we get into that mode where we begin to complain. And that intensifies the sickness or the weakness. So we must learn how to properly deal with our hurt and our pain or whatever it is that we're dealing with. And we have to realize, like, we have to really learn how to recognize when we're thinking toxic thoughts, and we have to recognize when we're thinking pure thoughts, which means we need to ask God to strengthen our discernment. Now, earlier while we was preparing, we talked about Jeremiah 17 chapter, the 9th and the 10th verses, and it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." So our heart is already deceitful. So, Taisha, when I was, you know, when you mentioned it, and then I was meditating on it, because, you know, when you get hurt, when you get wounded, your first defense or your first response is to protect yourself. So think about it. Something hurt you really, really bad. Now, if you was deceived by a person and if you was betrayed by a person, that deception, and that is nothing worse than a betrayal, the hurt of a betrayal, because it's somebody you really, really trusted and you put your faith in them and you just thought you were safe, but now you learn that you're not. And the scriptures say the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So how do you respond when somebody, and this is just an example because we're talking about the different ways that we can have a sick heart. But if we can have a sick heart, we can also, the word says the heart is deceitful. So if we have a deceitful heart and then we already thinking about toxic things, we think toxic, we speak toxic, that toxic stuff is feeding the deceitful heart, which the word says is already desperately wicked. So who knows how to cleanse and heal and renew a heart? Can we do that on our own? No. We can help the process along, though,
by forgiving people. By forgiving people and forgiving ourselves. And this is a good place right here to just pause for a moment and just ask everyone to perform self-examination on you, where you are. What is the condition of your heart? Are there any areas of your heart that you would like to cleanse for you? Because David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew in me a right spirit. David understood that there was some heart issue, and he wanted to be right with God. And the reason we've been doing this series with overcoming traumatic experiences in relationships, and we've been dealing with so many topics, is because a lot of times people don't bring awareness to these types of topics. And we've been dealing with abuse. We've been dealing with domestic violence. We've been dealing with various relationships. And no matter what you are facing and no matter what happened to you, God is concerned about everything that we go through. And God is also concerned about our thought life. And a lot of times what we think about, you know, that expression say you are what you think. And that's not a biblical scripture. But I challenge you to sit down and think about all of the things that you spend your time thinking about. Like, what do you spend your time thinking about the majority of the time? And that's going to tell you a lot about you. And if we go to Colossians, the third chapter, real quick, in Colossians 3, verse 1 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And verse 2 says, set your affection on things above, not on things on this earth. So, and right there, I want to go real quick to Romans 12 and 2, because it says, be not conformed to this world. So go back to Colossians 3 and 2 for a moment. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of this earth, not on the things of this world. So Romans 12 and 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So, Taisha, there are some things that God is going to do in healing us, but there are also some things that we have to do. And I just believe that when we're being conformed to this world, we allowing all of those toxins into our system. Now, we cannot protect ourselves from being hurt. We're going to be hurt. When you give somebody permission to be your friend, to love you, you're opening up yourself to get hurt. We get hurt. Some people hurt people on purpose, but we cannot avoid being hurt. But we can prepare better with how we respond to the hurt. And that's what this message is all about. And the mic is yours. We are coming to the close of tonight's message, too. And we hope that you are being blessed. And Taisha, the mic is yours.
No, you made a lot of valid points of how so many things that come to interfere with us really having a heart that is pure, a heart that is clean, a heart that is not toxic, and I like how you brought out that scripture. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. The heart can mislead you. It can make you think one thing that's not really the case. How many times that I thought people were against me and they really weren't? Especially when we've been hurt and abused in the past, we're very cautious on people's motives. And not everybody's yes. motives is bad. We don't even give people a chance because we already have this assumption that they're out to hurt you or harm you and do you dirty. But not everybody wants to do you dirty.
some people really have a sincere heart to, and some people really truly want to help you. And we got to be open to that. I think of Stacy, of how the old me, I said this before, I wouldn't have been open to this because being on the radio, because my past was like, well, people, they took an advantage of me. They did me dirty and all this other stuff. But then you miss out on good opportunities that God has for you because we're, like you said before, we're rehearsing our past. And I like how the scripture tells us that when Israel went to the promised land, God told them to remember, but not to remember Egypt and their slavery, but remember how God has brought you out. How often do we rehearse our testimonies? How often do we rehearse our success? How often do we take thought of the things that we have accomplished, where we were and where we are now? Maybe you're not financially where you want to be. Maybe you don't have that job you want to have. Maybe you're still going to school and you're struggling in school, or maybe your family's not how you want it to be. But look at the progress of, even if it's baby steps, at least you have more knowledge. At least you have more wisdom. At least you can just, at least you have more than what you had before. But so many times it's not always about the physical stuff that we have. It's not always about things. What's more valuable than things is God. Look at your relationship and how your relationship is with God now. Has it grown? Has it matured? And they are factors that really makes a difference. And just considering what we think about. And even just sit and think about it, have you rehearsing your past and all the trauma that you've been through, has it brought you any type of freedom, liberty? Has it gave you any type of peace, joy? Has it caused you to get any further along than where you are now? Has it helped you at all? Or has it just kicked you down in the dump? Only you can really say what that is. Because when I think of how I rehearse all the wrong things, like it says in the Bible, like, no, worrying does not add to your life at all. It takes from you more than anything. So we spend time really, and this has a lot to do with a sick heart, because we spend so much time reflecting on all that's wrong, all that needs to be fixed, that we're not really doing the work that God has called us to do. So that's really my final words, and really what I wanted to say is that, what are you looking at? Maybe some of the things that you're looking at is really causing your heart to be sick. Now, if you're going through something right now, and you feel as though what you're going through right now, like if you're in it right now, I encourage you to really, and hopefully we'll pray that God will truly give you insight and wisdom on how to get out of it. But this is more so with people that's been really, it's been 10 years since it's happened. It's been 20 years. It's been 30 years. It's been 40 years. when are we going to say enough is enough? My past, God has worked me through. And now because he worked me through, I'm past it. I'm past it. But if you're in a toxic situation right now that's really making your heart sick, I pray that God will give you a way of escape, that God will strategically give you a way out so that you don't have to deal with what you're going through more than what you've been through already. So, and praise God. Praise God. So, if anyone.
Go ahead.
Did you want to say something before?
No, go ahead.
So, if anyone feels as though their heart is sick, their heart is damaged because they have allowed things in their heart that made it toxic, or perhaps the reason why your heart is sick is because you never accepted Jesus Christ into your life. If that is you, I encourage you to say this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I come to you in need of your healing. My heart is sick, and I need your help. I need your cure, and your cure is Jesus Christ. So, Heavenly Father, I confess my sin, and I receive your Son, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior, that he may heal my sick heart. In Jesus' name. Now, perhaps you said that prayer and you already accepted Jesus Christ in your life, but there are areas in your heart that are sick. Ask God to renew, to replenish your heart. And truly be cautious of what you expose your heart to. Because what we expose our heart to is what will cause our heart to be sick. And what causes our heart to be sick, it really tears on us as a people. And it makes things worse than what it is. So I thank you, and it was just such a blessing to just share with you tonight, and I thank you for this.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Amen. And thank you for joining me tonight, and I pray that everyone has been blessed by tonight's message, and the heart of this message really is forgiveness. Because if any damage done to our heart, to our emotions, you know, we get our feelings hurt. Somebody hurt us. And then we also have to remember that we have also hurt other people. So we need to ask for forgiveness at different times. And other times we need to receive the forgiveness of those that have hurt us. And the easy thing is to hold on to our hurts and our pain. But the difficult thing is when we hold on to the offense and we want to charge
the ones that have hurt us, we want them to pay a fine, a hefty fine, Taisha. You know, but a desperate heart is deceitfully wicked, desperately wicked. And a wounded heart, a sick heart, likes to wear a mask, loves to put on a Band-Aid to cover up the wounds, the bruises. They love to conceal and they love to camouflage the trauma, the crisis, the hurt, the pain. But when Jesus died on the cross, he died for all of that. Any hurt, any pain, Jesus died on the cross. And Taisha just gave the prayer and the invitation to Christian discipleship by accepting Jesus Christ into your life. And if you are wounded and you go to Jesus, Jesus will heal you. He will help you. And we are living witnesses for that. But we just want to thank you so much for spending this time with us and for those that will listen later on demand. And I just want to talk about the heart for a moment before we go, because physically, a heart is a hollow muscular organ and vertebrae that receive blood from the veins and it pumps into the arteries by regular rhythmic contractions. So, and we need our blood to be pure. When we go to the doctors and they check to see if we are sick, the first thing they do is check our blood. They check our blood count. They check our blood levels. They check our white cells. And a lot of times if sickness is there, your white cells, your count is going to be off. So, and I say that because spiritually, sometimes our white counts can be off, Taisha. Spiritually, we'll know that something is going on with us because we're not going to feel comfortable. We're going to feel uneasy. So pay attention to the signs of your heart. Just like you driving your car and you hear that little click, click, you know something going on with your car. Well, you know when something is going on with your heart because you feel it. And if you're not feeling anything, that's also a sign that something is going on with your heart. So this is Stacey Lunsford, and Taisha Thompson was with me tonight. And we thank you so much for joining us. God bless you, and have a beautiful night. Good night.
God bless. Good night.
God bless you. Bye-bye.